Broadcasting and streaming worldwide from the Golf Club Studios, it's the Golf Club Radio Show with Danielle Tucker.
Hi, Danielle. It's Ben Crenshaw.
Hey, Ben. It's the U.S. Women's Open at Pebble Beach, and we are so excited. But first, we're going to do a little bit of a forecast for you. It's going to be about 91 degrees today. So if you're going to go play at the beautiful Plantation course, the Corin Crenshaw design at Kapalua, the trades are 15 to 25 miles per hour. So the course does have some protection, but it's going to be hot, sunny, well, a little bit of rain, variable cloudy is described here. Numerous showers, mainly nights and mornings, fewer showers each afternoon. So put on the sunscreen. It doesn't matter. The sun comes through the clouds and gets you. And you don't want to be got. I've got a really great show for you this morning. Mark Rolfing is going to be joining us, analyst and commentator, Golf Channel, NBC Sports. Claude Brousseau has a lesson for us. We're focusing on the ladies because it's the U.S. Women's Open. And guys, pay attention because sometimes the length of a women's drive is more men's style. For guys who don't have a chance to practice all the time and develop that length. So there's a lot of tips that you can get. And John Peter Hagan, Pebble Beach Insider, author of Pebble Beach and Other Chance Encounters, will be with us. But kicking it off is Ron Cyrak, award-winning writer, Golf Channel contributor, writing for the United States Golf Association at Pebble Beach. And we'll be back with him right after this. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is the Golf Club.
Streaming worldwide from sunny Hawaii, it's Danielle Tucker's The Golf Club Radio Show, brought to you by these fine sponsors. MD Restoration, water, flood, broken pipe cleanup, 24/7 licensed and insured. Aloha Power's Megastore is open behind the Costco gas station in Iwilei. Aloha Power Equipment, Iwilei and Waipahu. We put power at your fingertips. SciPac Cybersecurity, an elite group of cyber specialists providing the deepest level of protection anywhere in Hawaii. Call 808-861-9595. And Aloha Section PGA, teach your children to play golf. It's the gift that lasts forever. Now, here's Danielle Tucker.
Wow, it's all happening. Pebble Beach and so much going on. It seems like there's just history is being made while the women are making history. Ron Cyrak, award-winning writer, Golf Channel contributor, PGA of America Lifetime Achievement and Journalism Award recipient, LPGA Media Excellence Award recipient, and author Vision 54 Trilogy with Lynn Marriott and Pia Nilsson. If you get a chance to read Play Your Best Golf Now, for instance, it really will give you some inside knowledge in the best way to get good at this game. Ron Cyrak, welcome into the clubhouse.
Aloha, Danielle. Thanks for having me on. I'll apologize up front for my scratchy voice, but let me tell you, I've been to 190 major championships, and I've never been this cold in July.
What's the temperature? About 50-something?
It starts at about 52 in the morning, and it goes up to about 62. But you know, 62 with no sun is a whole lot different than if there was a little bit of sun. But I've been here since Monday, and the sun has just been strictly a rumor.
Wow.
We've not seen hide nor hair of it.
Wow. Talk about, being chilled by the clouds. But it's watching everything. We'll enjoy your voice. Just having you there, I so appreciate you being on the show. Thank you very, very much. And watching everything yesterday, in addition to the leaderboard, of course, it's a fascinating leaderboard, but there was, the Michelle Wee saying goodbye and Annika Sorenstam, the woman with 10 major championships heading out on the course. But this isn't her last competitive round, is it?
It's her last U.S. Open. She'll play the Senior Women's Open in August this year, and I'll be there for that one. And she'll probably, depends on how well she does in that Senior Women's Open, whether she continues to play that event. But she's not going to come back to this event. I talked to her a little bit about it, and she sort of says, the tees on the senior tour are what I can handle right now. This is too much golf course for me. And you could see it out there. She struggled for 2 days. It was tough weather conditions, but it's a big golf course for a 53-year-old woman out there.
Yeah. Well, it's a big golf course for a lot of these women. I mean, looking at the women who didn't make the cut, it could be a leaderboard in and of itself.
Yeah, you know, because of the marine layer, because it's been so damp out here, the rough is not only pretty thick, but it's moist. And these greens at Pebble Beach are really, really, really small. So if you miss a green, making up and down from that gnarly rough is difficult. But you look up and down, you look at who the top players are in the women's game, and you're sort of like saying, well, where's Jin Young Ko, and where's Nellie Korda, and where's Lexi Thompson, and where's Brooke Henderson? And the fact is, it's one of the things why I think Rose Zhang is coming along at a really opportune moment for her, because right now there's a void in leadership at the top of the women's game, and there's an opportunity for somebody to step in there and become the best player in the world, because nobody's really claiming that title right now.
Yeah, and what's up with that? Yeah, are we tired?
You know, I don't know why. You know, like I thought last year, I thought Lydia Ko had turned a corner and gotten it back. You know, I thought Nellie Korda. You know, I mean, she had the blood clot issues last year, and then she had back problems this year, so she's had some physical problems. But I thought she was going to build on her success, and that's part of, you know, part of what made Annika Sorenstam special. She not only forgot her losses really quickly, she forgot her wins really quickly. She built on success. If she won a tournament, she played the next week as if she had never won a tournament in her life and never lost that passion and that intensity. And I think a lot of players, part of what you learn to deal with is how you handle success and how you build on success. And Lexi Thompson went 7 consecutive years with at least one victory on the LPGA. It's now been 4 years since her last win, and that's just astounding to me.
Yes, and I saw her swing. It was so off in the upper body.
Sometimes I wonder how she makes contact, because sometimes at impact it seems like she's completely off the ground. You know, her feet just sort of leave the ground. But that's one of the things that a lot of people are being taught now is how to generate more clubhead speed by using the ground.
Yes,
right, to push harder off the ground. You're seeing a lot more golfers, both men and women. I mean, when I was taught the game a billion years ago, you were told to keep your feet on the ground. You were told, you know, just to hit the ball flat-footed like that. But now you're seeing people go up on their toes and try to generate more clubhead speed by using the ground.
Yeah, now that makes sense. When you brought that into perspective, that would completely change the upper body reaction. And if you're not in the groove, if you're not feeling 100% in charge, that'll just accentuate that upper body movement while the feet are airborne, and there's no solidity there. I'm thrilled, and I'm looking so forward to talking about Allison Korpuz, Hawaii's Allison Korpuz, and Bailey Tardy, who leads right now. Allison is tied for second with Hoju Kim. But, Leona McGuire's been so close the last month or so, 2 different events.
Yeah, there's a lot of lurkers back there. And Leona McGuire starts the day 6 strokes back. She's at 1 under par. And Masahata Oka is also at 1 under par. She's lost 2 majors, including a U.S. Open at the Olympic Club in playoffs. So she's gotten there. And I look back to where, you know, Rose Zhang, Minji Lee's the defending champion. They're both at 1 over, 8 strokes back. Mm-hmm. I think, you know, Bailey Tardy's leading right now at 7 under par. I think I would take 4 under par, maybe even 3 under par, and sit in the clubhouse and say, come get me on Sunday. So I think the leaderboard is going to bunch up a whole lot more today.
Yeah, well, your tweet was, this will be a fascinating day. If I'm Rose Zhang or Minji Lee at 1 over, I ignore the leader at 7 under and just focus on 2 under, 3 under, and see where that leaves you going to the final round. truly.
Yep, that's exactly it, because there's a lot. I mean, look, 20 players were under par after the first round. After the second round, 6 people are under par. So as always happens at every U.S. Open, particularly on a venue as spectacular as Pebble Beach, the golf course gets harder as the week goes on. Plus, the pressure intensifies because it's the weekend of the U.S. Open, you know. So the course gets harder, the pressure gets more intense, and you do see people coming backwards. There's an opportunity for some players who are seemingly well back to play their way in the contention today. As I said, Zhang or Minji Lee, if either one of them shoots 68, 69 today, they're probably going to be right back in this golf tournament.
Yeah, and then there's Nasa Hataoka and Ji Haixin. And
yeah. Minji Chun, who's a past U.S. Open winner.
Exactly, yeah. There you go. And this is Ron Cyrek, an award-winning writer, Golf Channel contributor. He's done so much in the game. How many major championships? Did you say 190 you've covered?
This is my 24th U.S. Women's Open, my 92nd Women's Major, and my 190th Major Men's and Women's combined.
So he's been around, is he?
And again, I'll say it, and I've all those majors, I've never been this cold in July.
Not even in jolly old England.
Well, you usually at the British Open, you get winter for one day here, you know.
But you've gotten it for a whole week. Right.
For the whole week.
Yeah. So I was just thrilled because Ron wrote this terrific competitive golf, said goodbye to Michelle Wee West on Friday at the U.S. Women's Open, and hello to another talent from Hawaii, Allison Korpuz, is at the top of the leaderboard. And, of course, Allison is playing Bailey Tardy. Bailey Tardy, you say, who is Bailey Tardy, and who is Allison Korpuz? Of course, in Hawaii, we know her very well. All year long, Ron Cyrek has said, Allison Korpuz is going to win. And
yep.
I've got to say, I'm going to just a couple of paragraphs here. There is a soothing calm in the way Allison Korpuz works her way around a golf course. Looking only at her body language, there's no way to tell how she's playing. Korpuz doesn't overpower golf courses. She outthinks them. She doesn't blow away the opposition. She outlasts them. And that is proving to be a very successful formula in the 78th U.S. Women's Open at Pebble Beach Golf Links. That's really wonder. In just those few sentences, you've summarized how this young lady is operating, and it is in such agreement with, you know, one of the great women in the game of golf, who has Mary B. Porter King, who created the Hawaii State Junior Golf Association in Hawaii, with other people, of course, as she'll say. She wasn't the founder. She was the co-founder with many people in the room. And I love what she said when she said something to the effect she's kind of shy, maybe too shy, you know. Have you been following her?
Everybody that I talked to Mary B. about Allison. I talked to Allison's agent, J.S. Kang, about her. And the first thing that I say, what makes her a special golfer? And they all say her head. You know, she's so smart. She took the COVID year to go back to USC and get a master's degree in business, you know. She's got a major championship personality. You know, the game that she plays, fairways and greens, is the kind that translates very, very well to major championships. But her composure, her understanding, you know, she told me yesterday, my caddy and I have done a great job of making decisions about what shots I'm capable of and what shots I'm not capable of. Mm. And that's an incredible maturity for somebody out there. And you know, both of these, Bailey Tardy is a rookie, and Allison's in just her second year. So we have two young, inexperienced players out there. But certainly Allison is showing a maturity that's very, very uncommon. She's a great example to me why I'm a big proponent of college golf and people getting, you know, at least a couple of years of college under their belt for that maturation process.
Yeah.
You know, to succeed out here, you need more than the physical skills of being a great talent. You've got to have the maturation to exist in the very adult world of professional sports.
Yeah. Yes. You have to know yourself, and you have to know the others that you're playing, you know, against. It's sure you're playing against the course, but there's still all the vibes that go on between people that are never really spoken or seen. You just can feel it. By the way, Allison Corpuz in 2008 broke the record of Hawaii's Michelle Wee West as the youngest to qualify for the Women's Amateur Public Link. She was 10 years, 3 months, and 9 days old. That's amazing that she's that gifted for, you know, as long, and then staying with it, going through college, getting her degree, and loving the game. That's a lot of dedication and devotion. I sometimes wonder how, you know, inspired these young people are to just devote themselves to this game. It doesn't give a lot of pleasure back. Have you talked to anyone about that?
Well, you know, when I asked Allison how important the Hawaii Golf Association was to her development, she just said, you know, it was everything. You know, she started when she was 7, 8, 9 years old, somewhere in there, mm-hmm. you know, and she said, there's 5 or 6 girls that I played in junior golf out there who went on to become top competitors in amateur golf. And when I talked to Mary V. Porter King about Allison, she was very, very quick to point out and proudly pointed out, you know, starting with Michelle Wee, but the names of 4 or 5 other players who came through the Hawaii junior program mm-hmm. to have successful careers. So she, you know, that she was well schooled along the way, you know, and I'm a big believer that there's such a thing as learning how to win. And competing a lot is a big component in learning how to win. But she obviously, in with the case of Mary B. and others out there, had good mentorship along the way.
Yes, absolutely. And Mark Rolfing, who will be on the show, is always on the board of the Hawaii State Junior Golf Association, assisting all the way along with what he could when he could. Now, with Michelle Wee leaving, that sinking the putt on the final hole, what was that? How long was that? 30, 31 feet?
About a 30 footer. You know, this has been a weird week for me because it's hard for me. I mean, I've been covering Michelle for 21 years, you know, which is weird to say about somebody who's only 33 years old. But for me this week, I haven't seen her a lot lately. I haven't seen her parents, BJ and Bo, a lot lately. But all three of them, when they saw me, gave me hugs and thanked me for covering them for all those years. You know, like, you know, thanks for being out here. Thanks for telling our story. And it was a bittersweet moment that she probably didn't accomplish all that she wanted to accomplish in terms of wins. You know, 5 wins in a major is. We thought there'd be more than that, mm-hmm. but she's very proud of the fact that that she was a role model in the sense of challenging barriers about what's possible. And she feels that she was a role model that way. And when I asked her, what are you most proud of? She says, having a degree from Stanford University.
Right on.
And I thought, wow, that says a lot too. But it was very strange that the entire was saying goodbye to not just Michelle but to BJ and Bo too here. And as I said, I was out here for 21 years with them.
Yeah, it's truly a wonderful story, and to see them. There are some photos online of BJ and Bo smiling and laughing and clapping as that putt goes in. And I've been really enjoying Mel Reed's commentary on Golf Channel. She's doing an excellent job. And I loved how she said, you know, I'm not really a golf commentator. I'm still an active player. She was, you know, and there goes Michelle. Michelle, of course, has to show off on the sink that last putt. But she kept saying, I love Michelle. You know, and in the Solheim Cup, Michelle Wee was like this spark plug, this energizer bunny. She was everywhere all the time, cheering people here, cheering people there, just keeping it all moving and energized. And she's got this this quality to her that attracts people, and at the same time, she is able to keep her space very comfortable. So she and her husband and her daughter and her family have some the privacy, you know, so that people don't come in too close at times. I just
That 2009 Solheim Cup was very, very important in her development out there, because when she first came onto the LPGA, there was a lot of resentment towards her, towards the attention she was getting, towards the fact that she didn't join the tour early on. And then at that Solheim Cup, they all stayed in player housing for the week, and she was with the other players and not with her parents and stuff. And it was the first time that all the others, her teammates, got to know her and got to know what a smart person she is, what a kind, funny person she is. And they got to know Michelle Wee as a person. And it changed a lot of her relationships. There were a lot of people on that team who did not particularly like her before that Solheim Cup and came away totally, totally in rapture with her.
That's great. I really enjoyed her presentation to the world about ShotLink and the LPGA. And I've heard people say, why isn't, you know, there's ShotLink on the PGA Tour. Why doesn't the LPGA Tour have ShotLink? And then she brought up, you know, more people would wager. I don't want to say bet, but I just did. Wager on the LPGA, which brings more attention to the game. What are your thoughts on that whole subject?
Yeah, I do think that the greater the statistical analysis that you can make available to your fans, the more it broadens the potential fan base for your product. Because yes, there is gambling, and yes, there are fantasy leagues, you know, and all those people who gamble and those people who are involved in fantasy leagues want that information, you know, and want to be able to understand it, and the fact that. You know, and the LPGA is probably 20 years behind the PGA Tour in trying to catch up on statistical access to its players, but it's getting there. You know, enough cannot be said to give praise to the USGA for the commitment they have to elevating women's golf, because, you know, they raised the purse for the U.S. Women's Open to $10 million when they had ProMedica Health as a presenting sponsor for this tournament. Then they lost ProMedica because they ran into financial trouble. Still this year, they come in with no presenting sponsor. They raised the purse again to $11 million, said they're going to go to $12 million next year. The winner here gets $2 million, and they're funding things like the ShotLink stuff. So the commitment they are doing to doing everything. And oh, by the way, Pebble Beach is just part of the upgrades of venues that's going to bring more fans in. I mean, you know, they played at Olympic a couple years ago. They're going to go to Oakmont, Riviera, Pinehurst, Oakland Hills, down the road. All of that brings new respect, and more fans for the women's game.
Right on. Ron Cyrak, award-winning writer, Golf Channel contributor, and PGA of America Lifetime Achievement and Journalism Award recipient. He is working with the USGA filing reports. So go to the USGA. You can see that I go to the U.S. Women's Open page, and you can see that online. You'll get the leaderboard, of course, player insights, and you'll get the writing from the great men and women who are writing at this wonderful event, the U.S. Women's Open at Pebble Beach. Thanks so much for being inside the clubhouse with us for so long. I really appreciate you.
Thanks for having me on, Danielle. Aloha.
Aloha. Coming back, Claude Brousseau is going to give us a lesson after this. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to The Golf Club.
The Aloha Power Equipment Superstore is next to the Costco gas station in Eveleigh. Riding mowers, robotic mowers, weed whackers, blowers, chainsaws, and generators. We got it all. Specials throughout the store. We stock parts and accessories for everything we sell.
Honda, Maruyama, Steel, Echo, Billy Goat, and a lounge for while you wait repairs. Our Waipahu store is still open. We put power at your fingertips. Aloha Power Equipment Superstore.
Poipu Bay on Kauai's South Shore. Share our home with need a gift for that special someone? Tired of giving fruit baskets you know are getting recycled? Give a Poipu Bay golf gift certificate. Whether it's a birthday, business, or anniversary, here's the one gift that is always the right size and the perfect date. Just give us a call and it will be waiting for you to pick up or mailed to your office. There may even be time to sneak in a nine. Call us for the perfect gift, where great golf is played every day at Poipu Bay on the Garden Isle.
PGA Junior League is a fun team golf experience for kids that the entire family can enjoy.
Boys and girls learn the game from PGA and LPGA professionals and have a great time with friends.
Find your team and get ready for a fun and exciting PGA Junior League season.
I want to see you out playing in your jersey and having fun. Visit PGAJuniorLeague.com.
Feet of the ball, feet grounded, taking a deep breath, rip it, and rip it. Did I do that? Oh, man. Now back to Danielle Tucker.
Claude Brousseau, PGA Master, Director of Player Development, Wailea Golf Academy, at Wailea Golf Club on Maui, the only Golf Channel Academy in Hawaii. He's a Golf Channel Academy lead coach, talent contributor with Sports Illustrated. Morning Read, 2 videos per month. Go there, check it out. He's always got this way of presenting things that just make sense. He's Golf Digest certified instructor, Flight Scope certified instructor, Aimpoint Level 3 certified instructor, Vision 54 authorized coach, and V1 Sport Coach Ambassador, ranked number one teacher in the state of Hawaii by Golf Digest list of best teachers 2022-2023 in every state, second time in a row. His section in Morning Read, by the way, is the golf section. It's in Sports Illustrated. It's called Golf Tips in Paradise. All right. Welcome into the clubhouse, Claude Brousseau.
Good morning, Danielle.
Good morning. How
Thank
do you,
you
do
for
it?
Having me.
Yes, how do you do it all? You're like, you're nonstop.
Yes, I'm like the energizing bunny, but yes. I love what I do. I feel it's a privilege that people want to spend time with me. I mean, you've been at Wailea. I got the best office in the world. So life is good, and I'm a guest on your show. What can I ask for more?
Well, I thank you. Now, we want to talk about the women's game, but I suggested at the beginning of the show that men should listen too, because for men who don't get out that often, sometimes playing the way a woman would strategize a course is exactly what men need to do. Don't you think?
I agree 100% with you, because distance is not everything, okay? Controlling the ball is everything. So, and then you have to make the right decision. And, yes, the game is about moving the ball from point A to point B and having a game plan. Then when you watch the women playing, especially for the listener and the recreational golfer, they will learn so much because they're very powerful, but they do it, I call that poetry in motion. It's just so nice. They use the rhythm of their swing. They swing fast, and they are very efficient. So I think it could be a very good model for most of the people who play golf.
Yes.
Who don't have the ability of, you know, his swinging like the tool players.
Right. Yeah. Up on your toes and everything.
Yeah.
I didn't realize there are 6.4 million female on-course golfers, a 14% increase since 2019 to 2022. That's just into 2022. And girls represent 36% of today's juniors, ages 6 to 17. That's terrific.
It is so fantastic. And this, the LPGA has a lot to do with that, because they started a program At one time it was called a Girls Got Game, and then it did change for something else. But they do so much promotion and offer location and workshop where the young girls can get involved in the game. And I think it's fantastic for golf because, the number don't lie. Huh? You see how the girls want to get in the game. There is many opportunity, even if it's not being a tour player, but there is scholarship available as well. And the bottom line, Danielle, is golf, you buy into a lifestyle. That's how I called it. Golf is a lifestyle where you can spend quality time with your friend, your family, and then you don't need anybody to go and play golf. And it's a way to empower the women. I'm looking at my sister, let's say, very shy, and then she started to get in golf, and then she lives in Montreal. Right now she sent me a picture this morning. She got her golf bag on the cart by herself. She will go at different golf courses. I mean, and then she's just enjoying the lifestyle of playing golf.
When a woman comes to you and asks you for a lesson, what is the first part of the game that you start to teach?
Most of the demand is the long game. But rapidly, I will start with some really fundamental things, because the difference between the people who perform at their best, whatever the level, Danielle, it has to be based on what I call mundane, not that many exciting or, fun necessarily thing, but you need to have good basic stuff. So most of the time they want to do more long game. Then I have quite a lot of requests of doing the short game, because let's say if they realize that they won't necessarily hit many greens in regulation, so they need to get good with shots that are less than, let's call that, 50 yards. Let's say they do a fairly good drive, they're short on the green, either distance-wise for the second shot on a par 4, or directional, they miss the green, let's say, an average 30 yards from the hole. So, and then what they realize when we start with the short game, or rapidly going in that, is that their enjoyment of the game increased tremendously because they avoid big numbers. So they don't get close to the green in two and then take six shots to put the ball in the hole. Nobody likes to do that.
No. It was just, to me, most people go in and say, I want to hit that driver. I want to get the ball far. I want to do that. But it would seem to me that you could do that easier if you got to know the game, the short game first, got more confidence with your club, with your ball, the feel of things, and then advance through the club, the bag, yeah, as it were.
Yes, yes. When the women come, it's rare that they ask for more distance.
Oh.
It's not that common. They say, okay, I want to play better. I want to know more about how to use the club in my body. They may not use those terms, but they say, okay, I want to get better at this. So I won't say that their first priority is distance. They want to know how to use the club and how to move the ball forward. So it's interesting because they're very interested and they have an inquisitive mind about, okay, how I do this thing.
Right.
And fairly, what I will say, patient to stick to the process of learning. Of course, they're outcome oriented as well, and they want the ball to go where they want it. Don't get me wrong. That's kind of a given, I will say, more. But they're very curious about, okay, how can I make that happen for myself?
Yeah. Yeah. We had Susan Hess was scheduled, Golf Teeny, but mm-hmm. almost 20 years ago, she started off a clothing line for women. And, much to my happiness, some women did advance and realize that women want to look like women when they're playing the game of golf. Mm-hmm. They don't want to wear small men's outfits, you know, the shirt and the pants, the shorts, whatever. So she unfortunately can't be with us today because she has a family emergency to take care of. But I like what you said when you were writing to me, women need to feel good to play well. Women need to feel good to play well. And part of that is feeling good about how you look. I mean, women who feel good and feel like they look good, they play good. I don't know, are men different? Do they have a different?
Yes. I think it's different. But you're right. You're right on that. Women play golf and they want to feel good about it. Okay.
Yeah.
So of course they want to score well as well. But I think the priority is I want to go out, feel good about myself. The men's is they need to play good to feel good. So it's different.
Yes, that is very different. You know, if we have a feeling good in your clothes, you know, and feeling like it's a part of you, it's an extension of you, and then you get to play. Yeah. It makes you feel confident. It makes me feel confident, and so I don't have to worry about that part. I just have to worry about my game. And preferably not worry about my game. Do we get too wrapped up in our head, Coach?
Yes, I think so. I think the biggest frustration comes from non-realistic expectation. Just by not knowing what good is. What I mean by that, Danielle, is that if you don't play often, and so you will expect, let's say, to hit 12 green in regulation, as an example. Yeah, but if you're a 90 shooter, you will hit 4 or 5 green in regulation. So you get in your head because you want to do so well that your expectations are not realistic. And also, I use often with the women, okay, there is an athlete in that body. Let it come out. Okay?
Yes.
So by often you get to the course, and then the goal will be, okay, make solid contact, swing like an athlete, and see where the ball goes and learn from that. Sometimes they have the tendency to be way too hard on themselves, and then I say, okay, the power of the words for me is very important in how the brain process information. So I always share, I say, okay, starting now, today, bad shot doesn't exist in golf anymore, okay, in your head. You need to call that a learning shot. Oh, I learned that the ball went 30 yards off the line that I wanted to start on. And this way you say, okay, how can I modify my swing on the next, let's say, tee box to correct that stuff? So it's all about learning about the shot you just did.
You got to play. You've got to have a little bit of fun play part of you come out. So you try this. Oh, that didn't work. So what? I'm going to try that. And that, oh, yeah, that worked a little bit. I'll incorporate that. You have to kind of loosen up and not take it too seriously.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And then the other thing I think is very important for the women listening and the men as well, but it's you have to be yourself. Don't try to play like, let's say, somebody else. That swing belongs to somebody else. Then the more you recognize what is your own recipe, let's say, what is Danielle's recipe to make a good putt? And focus on that. What is your good recipe or way of processing the information to make a good drive off the tee? And just always dwell on, okay, what did I do good? Because most of the players that I see here, if I ask them, would you like first to know what you do wrong, or would you prefer knowing what you do well? 99% of the people say, I want to know what I do wrong.
Yes.
I say, this is what you're doing wrong. because you just did a great shot. You agree it's a great shot. And I'm asking you, okay, how did you produce that? And the answer is, I don't know. Why in the world would I tell you what you do wrong first?
Oh, my goodness. Yeah. Can you, just for people who don't know the game too well, define green in regulation.
Thank you, Danielle, for asking that. Yes. So green in regulation means that if it's a par five, the best player will hit the green in three shots. If it's a par four, they will hit the green in two shots. If it's a par three, they will put the green on the green in one shot. That's what we mean, green in regulation.
Okay, okay. So, yes, it should take you three on a par five to get onto
Correct.
The green.
Correct.
And then
Correct.
You have two to get into the hole.
Correct, correct. But Danielle,
yes.
for the best player.
Mm-hmm.
So very important for the player to establish what is their personal par, I call that, okay?
Ah, yes.
Personal par, that means, okay, for even for Claude or for Danielle, five is not your personal par, sorry. Especially if the hole is ranked number one in difficulty on that course. Okay, for Claude that doesn't do living for playing golf, in handicap is, let's say, four. On that hole, I make six. That's kind of my par. Of course I want to do better. So establish what is your personal par. Just as an example, to explain that even further, let's say for an example, you are an 18 index or handicapper, let's call that, okay? But for every hole, your par, number one is the par four, your par is not four, it's five.
Got
you
it.
Follow me on that?
Yes, oh, absolutely, yes.
So for your listener, this way, okay, they make five, okay, that's my par. And the key also, Danielle, is the beauty of golf for anybody, but I got like women of any age. Like I got this lady, she's 69 women, she's 69 years old. I've been coaching her for a while, but now she says, I want to score better. I said, okay, let's establish a plan for the short game. And then she practices, but I mean, now she went out, she's very efficient at 50 yards and less. Then she doesn't hit the green. Let's say the other day she went out, didn't hit one green on the front nine. For most of the people will be discouraged with that and say, shoot, I'm not good. However, because the short game is good, she made only seven putts on nine holes.
Wow.
So that means what? The short game is extremely good. So she chipped close, so it's easy to make one putt. The probability of make one putt is really high. Or she's 30, 40 yards out, she will pitch pretty close, and then she may. So think about it, how much fun you will have. So your challenge is, say, okay, when I'm getting close to the green, let's say, let's call that 50 yards out, just for a number, okay? The goal is, can I make only three shots here? So in your mind, Danielle, you will say, okay, this is a very short par three. 50-yard par three, well, anybody can do that.
Sure.
But you see what I mean by that in your mind, at least before you swing.
Yeah.
And then it helps to be more confident, like you were saying earlier.
Yeah, yeah.
And then you have more fun doing it because you're really good in the short game. And then it takes a lot of pressure out of the long game. And then, like you were saying earlier also, Danielle, is the quality of the contact, I call that quality of the contact club ball. If you're doing that really, really efficient in the short game, translate to the long game.
Yeah, it's...
So that person I'm talking about now, or three wood, you should see how. Whew, it's amazing.
Oh, the woods are the hardest for me. And she's 69 years old. That is fantastic. And I like what you wrote. The short game is the equalizer of the game. It's the fastest way to improve your performance. Distance isn't everything. Controlling the ball is everything. And getting those hands used to that club, understanding how the hand can feel the club face, it's an art. It's like, you know, Tiger had these incredible hands. You know, mm-hmm. He can feel the groove just about. You know, he knows you'd imagine that. You know, I'm going to hit this groove. I'm going to hit that groove. I'm talking about the face of the club. You can hit the right groove. Imagine getting that. And so some of the things that people have said about Claude Brousseau, you know, just an amazing teacher. And I just wanted to give some of the testimonials out here. You are the best investment in our lives we have ever made. I hope you know that. Our games have really improved, and I have the confidence to play with strangers. Boy, that is, you know, that says everything, right?
Can I say something on that, Danielle?
Yes.
In that person, she's an investment banker.
You know, you'd think she'd have confidence to do just about anything, walk into the room and...
Yeah, but she will know about investment.
Yes, exactly. Another one is, hi, Claude. I'm excited to tell you that I shot 91 today at Pukalani. That's a personal best for me. Bill and I played with two foursomes and had a lot of fun. The results are pleasing. Sincerely yours, Maureen. And that is so wonderful, you know, to for you to hear this, but for the person to have that much joy after taking a lesson. And here, another one. I'm using all of Claude's putting guidance, and last week won low putts 26 in my local ladies play day. Thanks, Claude. See you in the fall. And you build relationships, don't you, with your students?
Yes. This is what is so great. And when you were asking at the beginning of the time together, Danielle, how I'm doing, I am so grateful for golf in my life. This is, you know, like I come in, enjoy it. I love helping people to realize their potential. And then just, you know, to see the sparkle in their eyes and say, you know, oh, I really can do that. I say, of course you can, you know. Or just realizing that, oh, golf is something that I can do for myself, and I'm very blessed to do what I do. I love it.
That's wonderful. So this is Claude Brousseau, PGA Master, Director of Player Development, Wailea Golf Academy on Maui. It's the only Golf Channel Academy in Hawaii. Talent contributor with Sports Illustrated. It's Morning Read is their sports section. There are two videos every month in that section created by Claude, and he has a wonderful way of presenting, makes it very understandable. Golf Digest certified instructor, Flight Scope certified instructor, Aim Point Level 3 certified instructor. And by the way, so many guys on tour, just so you know, are using Aim Point now. Vision 54 authorized coach, and that's all about the mental game. And V1 Sport Coach Ambassador, thank you so much for being in the clubhouse with us this morning. And during the Open next week, it's the Open in the UK, we'll talk more. Focus a little bit more on the men's game. Thank you, Claude.
Thank you so much, Danielle. Have a great day.
You
Aloha.
Too. Aloha. We're coming back. We're going to go back to, yes, Pebble Beach. John Peter Hagan, Pebble Beach Insider, after this. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to The Golf Club.
You can buy new equipment and practice your swing, but peace of mind is the best way to improve your game. Our mission at SIPAC is to safeguard organizations from cyber attacks and business disruption. We are an elite group of cybersecurity specialists providing the deepest level of cyber protection anywhere in Hawaii. As local residents with businesses and families, we are fully invested in protecting Hawaii's livelihoods and assets with the serenity that comes from having SciPac watching your network and infrastructure so you can completely focus on your next swing. Call 808-861-9595 or on the web at SciPac.com. That's CYPA.com. MD Restoration, 24/7 emergency and disaster restoration service. COVID compliant. Fire damage repair. Mold remediation. Asbestos abatement. Call 528-3434. And now, get MD cleaned.
Breaking news. If you've ever wondered how to improve your home's looks at a reasonable price, a beautiful new Rainer garage door may be perfect for you. By investing in a Rainer door, you will have a strong, quiet door to enjoy now and increase your home's value should you sell. Now is the best time to order your new Rainer door with the gorgeous looks you've been seeing on other homes. Improve your home. Call 676-3667 or visit HawaiiDoor.com. That's HawaiiDoor.com.
Got to make this 30-foot putt. Checking the brake, three fingers, quieting the mind. Where's my putter?
I'm holding it. Let's go back into the clubhouse with Danielle Tucker.
It's the quieting of the mind that's the hardest part. You know, it's screaming. What am I doing wrong? And I haven't even hit the ball yet. All right, John Peter Hagen, Pebble Beach Insider, author, Play Away, Please. In addition to, I'm wondering how this book is coming along. Welcome into the clubhouse, John Peter Hagen.
Good morning. Are you wearing your Women's Open cap today?
Yes, and I so appreciate you sending me that. I love that hat. That is so good. It's wonderful. You're so good to me. Pebble Beach and Other Chance Encounters. Have you moved forward with that? That just sounds so intriguing, you know?
We're as the gentleman that you were interviewing before, golf is a slow process, even when you're in the publishing side of it.
Other Chance Encounters, it just sounds so alluring. I just want to be there. I'd love to be at Pebble Beach. I understand it's a little chilly.
This is, it's both. To answer both parts of your question, it is clearing right now. It's in the mid-50s, but the issue is the wind is coming up, and in fact, there are gale warnings out along this part of the California coast.
Oh.
So to go back to what you discussed with Ron earlier, I think anybody that makes par today has got a chance to win tomorrow.
Wow.
So it's going to get tough out there.
Do you know how strong the wind's going to blow?
15 miles an hour gusting.
Wow.
And down on the course, I am 300 yards off the bay, off Carmel Bay, in our house. And the winds are moving the trees up here pretty good right now. I haven't been down on the course yet, but it's going to be a real test. I don't know if it's going to be like Tom Kite back in 1992, but weather will be a factor.
Yeah, weather will be a factor. So where do you find that people who come to this U.S. Women's Open at Pebble Beach, where do they end up going in the evening? What are some of the hot spots?
Well, the hot spots are in Carmel and Monterey, depending upon age and how late you want to stay up. But it's pretty quiet, and this week is very interesting so far, and I think it's going to stay that way. This is a weekend of girls and boys and their parents who are out here just having a fantastic time on a golf course that many of them have never been on before, players included. And it's a dramatic difference between a men's tour tournament here or anywhere else in that there's no yelling, no screaming, no running. They're acting almost is a parallel to what the crowds are like at Augusta, where it's heavy applause and you hear a roar if there's a birdie or eagle or something unique. But they are tending to themselves. They are very engaged in the game. And the personification of it is the Peter Hay course that Tiger redid a couple of years ago. That intersection is the busiest intersection in Pebble Beach. You go by there at 6:30 in the morning, and Mom, Dad, and the kids are playing golf before the kids go to school and the parents go to work or back home, whatever.
Wow. Really?
Wow is right. And other personifications of this week, there was the traditional military flyover on Wednesday. Mm. Guess what? The whole crew was female.
let me ask you something. Let's go back to the Hay, because Peter Hay revolutionized the concept of the short course. How did that come about? What do you mean by revolutionize the concept of a short course?
Well, he first of all, nobody's wanted to pay full boat to play a big course, if you will, a whole course of 18 holes. And a lot of people were incapable, technically, of playing a Pebble Beach. And they had a hunk of land, and Morris said, let's build a little course for the families. Pebble Beach back then was very family-oriented. You know, there was a heavy equestrian program. There was Pebble Beach as a golf course. It was the only one here other than the country club. And so it, unbeknownst to them, and you relate it to today's emphasis on the woman in society and business, but it brought the parents together with their kids. It was one of the things they did.
Yeah. That's really cool. And then Tiger Woods amplified Hay's vision in the redesign. How did he do that?
He did a couple of interesting things that are great for marketing. One is he tried to replicate inland the seventh hole, the famous seventh hole that Rose Zhang nearly aced on Thursday. And it does kind of look like it. You know, you have to stretch your imagination a lot. But every kid that's on there says they're going to ace it just like Tiger did. And they have a program. If you get any aces on any of the holes on the short course, they give you a trophy, and you get your name printed and all of this, and you get a certificate. And you see these kids running around with all that stuff, showing off their trophies. It's just wonderful.
It is wonderful. Yeah, and then there's the 20,000-square-foot putting course. That sounds like a lot of fun, you know?
Yeah, it's about the size. Actually, it's a little bit bigger than the big double green at Augusta. And the greens, as you know, on Pebble are some of the smallest on tour. In fact, you can put six greens of Pebble on the double green on the old course. You know, and how big is the green? Well, for your audience, you're hitting into something that's no bigger than a tennis court on almost every green here.
Wow. I think of a tennis court as being pretty large.
Well, that's because you're... Yeah, but the ball's bigger also.
Good point. So this is... how I was just trying to think of, you know, it's a hard course. Pebble Beach isn't something that you can just go and say, oh, yeah, I'm going to stop by and I'm going to play Pebble Beach. It's hard.
It's very hard and it's very expensive, which is, but you know, things can be worked out, but it is very expensive. But then when you think of that golf course and many others like it in that caliber of U.S. Open courses, the maintenance costs are just huge on them. And speaking of maintenance, the golf course superintendents working the course this year, 35 of the 80 people, they're women.
Wow.
That they brought in from all over North America, much the same as Augusta does. You know, they guest course superintendents from Europe and the U.S. during the Masters. So we've got 35 people here from North America, all kinds of courses, the good ones, the mediocre ones, whatever. I don't mean mediocre in a bad way.
But yeah, right.
Uh-huh. Those you know and don't know. Yeah. And they've been here working that golf course. So they're responsible this week, women. I love it.
I had no idea that people were brought in to assist, but it makes perfect sense. When you have this many people playing, you're going to need a whole lot more maintenance work.
That's right. And one of them made a little comment yesterday. As you know, there was a lady named Amy Olson, who was 7 months pregnant, was in the tournament.
Yes.
And one of them kiddingly said, "This course is going to be so perfect, she wouldn't dare have her child early."
Oh, that's wonderful. I was just wondering, I can't remember, did she make the cut? I don't remember.
No, she. I think she tied, she said, "I tied Annika."
Well, that's not a bad thing either.
No. Two rounds with a bowling ball in your belly, and you still shoot only 8 over par?
Yeah.
Please.
Exactly. Bowling ball in your belly. Have you been on the course a lot, following?
I have. Not as much as I'd like, but when I get off the air with you, I'm going down and spend most of the day on it today and tomorrow. Mostly because it's just so unique. You know, Ron has covered so many rounds here, so many tournaments. And, you know, in my own way, I've been here since the Crosby days in the late 60s. And the enthusiasm, the mood, the feeling, the energy yesterday when I was there was stronger than I can ever remember when I was here, including with Nicklaus in 72, when
he won
his 11th major here. It's just beyond unbelief.
Yeah.
Beyond belief.
Well, I know that, you know, women being able to finally play on this kind of a stage, it's a huge feeling of wow, you know, and so all of that energy translates. I'm just looking at the leaderboard. Of course, you can watch this on NBC now. It was on USA Today. So the U.S. Women's Open is on NBC. I was looking at this, and it's Amari Avery, the amateur. She's moved up, tied for seventh. Of course, she's already on the course on the fourth, and many have not started. But there's so many different things happening. Just depending on your game, it's just going to be a really great, great close to these last 2 days are going to be very interesting. And the number of amateurs, I haven't even touched on that. Mark Rolfing will be on in a little bit to talk about some of the other players who are in the game. So do you have someone you're more, you know, you'd like to see win? Do you mind saying?
I don't mind at all. I think the winner is either going to be Rose Zhang or the Hawaiian.
Oh, Allison Corpuz.
and the reason is, back to this course, the tension, the suspense, the small greens, sooner or later, the short game of a player is going to win the tournament.
Yes.
My opinion. And those two probably have the best short games out there right now.
Wow, and Allison is very steady, very steady. It's great to hear that, you know, that there's another Allison Corpuz fan in the crowd. and Rose Zhang. And then Leona McGuire has been so close so frequently. I know she's going to be really hungry. Bailey Tardy being at the top of the leaderboard, what an amazing time for her, being, you know, first time. Over, you know, she's 7 under. She leads by 2. But so much can change depending on, you know, if the sun comes out or if the sun doesn't come out. And the wind is howling, as you mentioned. I think that's going to take on a whole new perspective for a lot of the players and how they play. Any other thoughts that you wanted to share with us?
Oh, my. Still like to get you here for the Peter Hay one of these times. But speaking of the Peter Hay and children on that course, have you ever heard of having to make a tee time on a par 3 course?
No. I mean, Well, yes, but
Peter,
no.
Welcome to Peter Hay. Welcome to Peter Hay.
Well, it's I'd love to go. I'd love to be there. I just love, you know, being on a coastline like that, and it brings out something very deep inside of, I think, a lot of people. You know, when you feel the wind on the cliff. But of course, when it's cold, it's difficult. You got to just wrap yourself in lots of jackets. I want to thank you, John Peter Hagen, right there at Pebble Beach, and you get to live there. You're so lucky. You're so close to the ocean.
Oh, it's wonderful. It's wonderful.
Yeah.
I have no complaints about everything.
No. John Peter Hagen is a real estate developer, architect, member of Hazeltine, with an apartment in Paris at one time and a few rounds under his belt on the Albatross at Le Golf National. Projects around the world, his personal mission became securing the St. Andrews Old Course Starters Box for a development in California through an auction on September 10, 2001. That's what Play Away Please is all about, the book. John Peter Hagen, Pebble Beach insider and author, Play Away Please. And we're looking forward to folks snapping that up and taking. Can we still get that? Is that still in print?
Yeah, you can. You can go on the website, and I can send out autographed copies. Of course, is on electronic books also.
Right on.
But definitely, and one of the joys, you talk about weather and everything else, one of the joys of talking to you is when I see what's going on outside here now, is to use the word aloha. It's wonderful.
Thank you. And thank you.
You're welcome.
And John Hagen, aloha. Thank you. We're going to come back. We've got Mark Rolfing, golf analyst and golf commentator, Golf Channel and NBC Sports, right after this. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to The Golf Club.
I'm Colin Morikawa, 2020 PGA Champion. In every golf journey, some goals can feel like an uphill climb, even intimidating, especially if you're on your own. But in the game of golf, helping hands are all around us. Whether you dream of a championship or you're just trying to make golf your thing, PGA coaches have industry-leading knowledge, guidance, and support to help you take the next step. Just like my PGA coach, Rick Sessinghouse, has always done for me. Wherever your golf journey is headed, a PGA coach can get you there. Find your PGA coach at pga.com/coach.
The Aloha Power Equipment Superstore is next to the Costco gas station in Eveleigh. Riding mowers, robotic mowers, weed whackers, blowers, chainsaws, and generators. We got it all. Specials throughout the store. We stock parts and accessories for everything we sell. Honda, Maruyama, Steel, Echo, Billy Goat, and a lounge for while you wait repairs. Our Waipahu store is still open. We put power at your fingertips. Aloha Power Equipment Superstore.
Poipu Bay on Kauai's South Shore. Share our home with Need a Gift for That Special Someone? Tired of giving fruit baskets you know are getting recycled? Give a Poipu Bay Golf Gift Certificate. Whether it's a birthday, business, or anniversary, here's the one gift that is always the right size and the perfect date. Just give us a call and it will be waiting for you to pick up or mail to your office. There may even be time to sneak in a nine. Call us for the perfect gift, where great golf is played every day at Poipu Bay on the Garden Isle.
Hey, speaking of sneaking in a nine, there's a 10-16 at Volcano. It's about 55 degrees. It's 10-08 at Makalei. The day traders are headed out at Poipu. There's a 9:30 and a 10:30. Kauai Lagoons, 10:38. Turtle Bay has a 9:20. And yeah, the Rangers, may you all hit the sweet spot every time. Eva Beach Golf Course, a 9:18 and a 10 o'clock. And Wailea Gold has a 10, Emerald a 10:50, and on the blue course there's an 11:30, and then it's pretty wide open with Maui Nui offering a 9:36. KORL, Waianae, Honolulu.
Ah, here's the local rule sign. Keep it in the fairway, it speeds up play.
Now back to Danielle Tucker.
Mark Rolfing, golf analyst and golf commentator, Golf Channel and NBC Sports, member Hawaii Golf Hall of Fame, 2022 PGA Distinguished Service Award recipient, and I think that's 2012, with his wife, Deb, contributor to the Dad's Advice Project. Welcome into the clubhouse, Mark.
Well, good morning, Danielle. How's everybody out in the islands today?
Oh, we're doing okay. A little bit of rain, a little bit of sun, a little bit of heat, 91. Got your sunscreen on? Yeah. How's it where you are? Where are you?
I'm on my way from Century World in Wisconsin and stopped off in Montana this week. So I've got a little bit of time off, and I'm going to chase some trout and forget about golf other than talking to you.
Chase some trout. I love it. You know, when we're at the Sony Open and I'm setting up in the media center, and there's Mark. He's out on the reef and he's fishing before he's on the air on Golf Channel. It's just such a pleasure. I need to see that sight again soon.
Yeah, well, let's do it. Yeah, it's in my DNA, and I think it's in your DNA to be out there on site at wildlife, so let's make that happen.
Let's do it. All right, so here we are. We've got an amazing golf course, Pebble Beach, and an amazing U.S. Women's Open, and we've got to talk about Century World because it's an amazing place, and I can't ever speak enough about going to Wisconsin and going to that golf course and just really enjoying not just the course but just the way everything is set up. I love the town. I love the restaurants and walking through it. It just feels so good there. But let's start with, I guess, Michelle Wee winning one major championship. She has, this is her last time at the U.S. Women's Open, but she seems to feel very comfortable with the transitions she's making. What were your thoughts?
Yeah, I think she does. I didn't actually talk to her, but I've communicated with her the last few days, and I could feel the emotion through text messages with her, and I think it's a fitting place for her to wrap up a career, and, you know, there's still a lot of people that are saying that Michelle Wee West was an underachiever, you know, that her career didn't reach the heights that everybody thought. I'm going to make an argument for the other side. I think in a lot of ways she was an overachiever because a lot of what she has been trying to achieve is not just shooting the lowest score in LPGA tournaments, but to make an impact on the game and change the world that she lives in. And I think she has really done that. She's brought a tremendous amount of attention to ladies golf over her career. And if I were her, I'd be feeling really good right now about my time as a competitive golfer.
Yeah. Five-time LPGA Tour winner, including, of course, the 2014 U.S. Women's Open. Won the 2014 Rolex Annika Major Award. Five-time U.S. Solheim Cup team member. Won the 2003 U.S. Women's Amateur Public Links at the age of 13. 2004 U.S. Curtis Cup team member. She accomplished a lot in the game, but as you just said, outside the game, and she's continuing to push that envelope because I was watching television and I see her on the dais at Golf Channel live from the U.S. Women's Open. And, you know, she's talking about, hey, ShotLink, we need to have ShotLink because we want to have more attention. First of all, there's not enough attention given to the backstory of our players. Second of all, people can't gamble. And third, we can use those stats for ourselves. The PGA Tour, all these guys are taking advantage of knowing what's happening so you can address issues within your game and see it so clearly. I was thrilled to see her speaking out like that.
Yeah, it's really a very, very good thought. It's interesting because at Century World last week, we didn't have any analytics either. There had never really been a championship of that kind at Century World, so we didn't know how the holes were going to play or how they ought to be set up. The USGA did a very good job, but analytics are critical to creating fan interest, and there's no question in my mind that not having ShotLink has held back the LPGA. I think people would be really surprised if they saw some of the driving stats. You know, the general impression of ladies golf, I think, is that they don't hit the ball very far and that they are really good putters. I wouldn't necessarily think that's the case. I actually believe the LPGA players drive the ball as straight as the PGA Tour guys do. And they have some very good short games. Alison Corpuz has got a tremendous short game, but people really don't know that about her because we don't see her enough on TV, number one. And number two, there aren't stats really to back it up, and now there will be.
Yes, exactly. And when you said now there will the LPGA be taking ShotLink, or are you saying it because the USGA has brought ShotLink to this event?
I think everybody is going to be clamoring for it now because they're really seeing how valuable it is. And so I really don't see a scenario where women's golf can afford to not have it. And I think the question will be, you know, how high do these purses have to go? You know, the U.S. Women's Open is an $11 million purse this year. I think that's gone about as high as it needs to go right now. And that money could be better spent going forward if there's money on things like ShotLink to enhance the value of the LPGA players. So I'd really like to see that happen. And I believe with the help from the PGA Tour and hopefully the entire world of golf coming together, let's say over the next 5 to 10 years, we can make that happen. It shouldn't be men's golf has got one thing and women's golf doesn't.
I couldn't agree with you more. I mean, it's like, that's so yesterday. Yeah, all right. And seeing Michelle, you know, on the course with Annika Sörenstam was priceless. And then that final putt that she sank was absolutely, it was so wheezy, you know. And Mel Reed is doing a great job. I love her commentary. And she said, it just like Michelle to show off at the very end, you know. that was just great. Really great.
Yeah, she is a little bit of a show-off in a lot of ways, but I think that's what drove her in some ways to taking some of the chances that she did in her career. As you well know, I took a lot of heat back in the day when I was kind of helping to mentor her and guide her career a little bit, and I felt pretty strongly like she should take some chances and she should go play against the men. And a lot of people were poo-pooing me, saying, you know, she needs to win more in women's golf. That's just not possible when you grow up and live in Hawaii. There was really nowhere for her to go. My heavens, she won the Hawaii State Women's Open by 12 shots when she was 12 years old. Was she going to get any better playing in that competitive situation? No, I don't think so.
No.
So her alternative was to, extend her boundaries out, and she took a chance and did it, but in the end, I think that was still the right decision.
Excellent. Well, I couldn't agree with you more on that. You know, I think even though there were parts of, me because she was 13, let's say, and she stood so tall, she didn't look 13. She looked older, her height, you know, and then so she's this young girl in the midst of all these grown-ups, and when she starts talking, they realize, oh, she is 13. Remember when she said that? You know, nobody knew I was 13 until I opened my mouth, and then everybody knew I was 13. It's kind of a strange place to be when you don't have the maturity and you're, like, in between all of these different age groups. You don't know where you fit in. And that's where her parents were, even though they took a lot of heat, even though, you know, they were taking that heat, they were there for her the whole time, and they guided her to the best of their ability. And seeing them smiling as she was, you know, that putt sank, that last putt, BJ and Bo watching all that, and there are some photographs of their joy and their happiness for her. And her happiness is just shining through with her husband on the bag and little Jenna. So it's a really great story. And I imagine somehow Michelle will still be in the game of golf. Do you think so?
Oh, absolutely. You know, I hope she does some more television in the future. I think she's really good at that. She's kind of backed off a little bit right now for that. But, you know, if I were BJ Wee and Bo Wee at Pebble Beach, I would be just walking around watching my daughter play and say to myself, you know what? She's been one of the most influential women golfers in history and will continue as time goes on to be one of the most influential women golfers in history. And they should be very proud of that. She has done a whole lot for the game in a lot of different ways.
Ron Cyrak wrote a great article, Competitive Golf Said Goodbye to Michelle Wee on Friday at the U.S. Women's Open. And hello to another talent from Hawaii, Allison Corpus, who is, of course, at the top of the leaderboard, tied for second with Hoju Kim. It's really cool to see this transition. I mean, Allison is so steady and beat Michelle Wee's, you know, youngest player to ever stat. I think she's going to do okay on the LPGA. What do you think?
Oh, I do too. And it's just so ironic and interesting to me that the focus is on Pebble Beach, because one of my great times in my broadcast career was at the 2000 U.S. Open, and it was on Friday in the second round when I walked the back nine and did the commentary for Jack Nicklaus playing in his last U.S. Open ever, and went right off the 18th green to the first tee to tee off Tiger, who was going to literally become, you know, equal to, if not better than, Jack Nicklaus. So I've seen the passing of the torch. It's not of that magnitude with Michelle and Allison, but still it's a passing of the torch. Mm-hmm. And this is a big weekend. This is the biggest weekend for Allison Corpus's career, there's no doubt.
Yeah.
The wind is blowing. I think that's probably good. Her strength, as we talked about before, is her short game. There's no surprise to me that she's playing well at Pebble Beach, because you've got these tiny greens. And I don't care how good tee to green you are, you're going to miss a lot of greens, particularly if the weather gets tougher. So that'll play right into Allison's hands, I think.
I can't wait to watch. And I want to transition now to Century World and Stevens Point and Robert Trent Jones Jr. Golf Design. There was a great photograph, and inside the comments on Twitter, Mark Rolfing was kind enough to give us a demonstration of the broadcast booth at the U.S. Senior Open. Now, Robert Trent Jones was on the show with me just a couple of weeks before the U.S. Senior Open at Century World. And he goes on to say in the tweet, "We're gratified by the kind words this team has had to say about this wonderful golf course here at Century World." Did you see that?
Oh, did I? And, yeah, I gave a lot of tours, whether it was to Robert Trent Jones Jr., who's 83, or our first tee junior reporter from Maui, Ethan Taguchi, who's 10 years old. He's 73 years younger than Robert Trent Jones Jr. But it was that kind of week. It was a celebratory week. You have been there. Central Wisconsin turned out. You know, we didn't really know. You can work really hard on events like that and do everything right, and then sometimes they just don't turn out the way you expected. But my heavens, to have Jerry Kelly and Steve Stricker paired together on Saturday in the third round with thousands of Wisconsin golf fans and fans all over the property, it was a magical week, and I think exceeded everybody's expectations.
Yeah, you know, I'd like to see another event held there. It just seems to be the perfect place to hold something, in addition to the fact that it's so incredibly well kept. The golf course is in immaculate condition all the time. I mean, they closed it for, what, 8 months before the tournament so they could make sure that it was perfect? But it's also the kind of place where people can come together and kind of, I don't know, it just feels like a really nice place to get together with a lot of people and have a lot of fun. And
yeah, so let me float an idea for you. I spent quite a bit of time with Mike Wan of the USGA, and you know, there's been talk about a U.S. Women's Open. I don't think that's going to happen. That's probably too big an event, and there's not enough accommodations in the area. I think there's a real good chance you'll see the Senior Open go back there. But I'll tell you what I think would be a perfect event now that Century World has really proven itself is the Solheim Cup. To me, when I look at the Solheim Cup, that thing would be perfect for Century World.
That's it. Because I was talking earlier about, you know, Michelle Wee was like a spark plug in the Solheim Cup. You remember her first Solheim Cup? She was like all over the place. And
she was. And, you know, when I look at the Solheim Cup, Danielle, it is a Midwest kind of event. If you look at where the Solheim Cup has really done well, they knocked it out of the park in Des Moines, Iowa. They knocked it out of the park again in Toledo, Ohio. It's not an L.A. event. It's not a New York type event. It is a central Wisconsin type of event. And I think that thing would fit perfect for Century World.
Yeah, it's a family event. And so in these family cities, little towns, it's perfect. What a great idea. Where do I root? Who do I holler to?
well, we don't have to root with me or Pete McPartland because we have talked about it. We think it's a good idea. But once we bake up a little bit more of the casserole here and I know exactly what we're talking about, you'll be the first one to find out.
Right on. Well, I look forward to talking to you later this month.
You got it. We got the Open Championship coming up, and go Allison.
Go Allison.
Have a tough go.
Right on.
It's going to be a great Women's Open. Take care, Danielle.
You too. Thank you so much. And yes, go Allison. And she's not. Let's see now. I probably need to refresh my computer here. Are you not doing that on your own? Sometimes they just get really lazy, don't they? Have you noticed that? No, she has not teed off yet, so we still have the leaders not on the course. And the leaders are, of course, Bailey Tardy, Allison Corpus tied with Hooju Kim. And we have some amateurs moving up there, but they've been on the course for 5 holes, 3 under. And 7 under leads with Bailey Tardy and Allison Corpus and Hooju Kim are at 5 under. I want to thank the people who make this show possible. We always have such a good time. Aloha Power Equipment's Megastore. And that's right on Alakava in Ivile. And no, it's not hard to get to. I mean, if I can get to Costco easily going down Alakava from Nimitz Highway, you can do the same. And then it's right there. If you come from Nimitz, you make the left on Alakava, it's right on the left side. It's just right next door, okay, to the Costco gas station. Really easy to get there. We put power at your fingertips. It's Aloha Power Equipment, and it is the hurricane season. So you want to be ready. I mean, I make sure that I have those 2 weeks of food for my family, and you want to make sure that you have the equipment necessary to keep things running in your home. I'm in an apartment building. We have a gigantic generator, so we don't have to worry. You want to get down there to Aloha Power Equipment to find out how you can make your family safer. We put power at your fingertips. It's Aloha Power Equipment. MD Restoration floods from the inside, from the outside. You know, you need help immediately. I mean, I've had it happen to me, and I'm like, MD Restoration, MD, help. Anytime, day, night, right away, if disaster strikes your home, and it's a disaster, whether it's your home or your office, call MD Restoration. Their number is 528-3434. And because they're licensed contractors, they can not only clean up, but they can fix it. Rainer Garage Doors, beautiful look, maximum security. It's quiet. You know, you get in there, the door closes and the garage, and you're in your home, home free. Perfect. Perfect time to check it out. HawaiiDoor.com. That's where you can see all of the designs. And the number is 676-3667. We're honored to have the support of the Aloha Section PGA. Hey, Claude Brousseau, Master PGA, PGA Master Professional. I always flip that around. Forgive me. You know, just get in touch with somebody. If you're not on Maui, of course, you can find a master or a PGA. They're also so devoted to teaching this game. Just give them a call, Aloha Section, or go to the golf course of that's close to you and ask them, do you have a PGA on property I'd like to learn? And CyPAC for cybersecurity for your company, your organization, it's an elite group of cyber specialists providing the deepest level of protection for your office. And the number is 861-9595. Thank you for your mana. May you hit the sweet spot every time. I'm Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
You've been listening to the award-winning Golf Club radio show with Danielle Tucker on the Golf Club Network statewide. Tune in next week and we'll tee it up together only on The Golf Club.
Copyright 2023.